We are in the third week of our series called The Thrill of Hope. It's an Advent series that leads us up to Christmas morning. And Advent is that, I guess it's that weird word in the church that means anticipation. See, so much of our world, we want to rush right to Christmas. The cool thing in the church is we get to anticipate all the way up to Christmas, and then Christmas, we can start 12 full days of the Christmas season, so it's not just Christmas morning. We are only 4 days away from the shortest day of the year. You are well aware of that, a season where it gets dark. For some of you, it's dark before you go to work, and it's dark when you get home from work. This is very long, dark days. And we also live in a world where so much seems to be going in the wrong direction. So I want to begin with a story of hope, a piece of news that is cause for great joy. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the state of Tennessee, but a little over a week ago in Clarksville, Tennessee, the tornado sirens sounded. And before the siren actually sounded, the roof of the Moores family home was ripped off. It was violently sheared off, and the twister was upon their family. Sydney is the mom. She's 22 years old, and she immediately threw her body over her one-year-old son. The father, his name is Aramis, he tried to protect their four-month-old son, who was sleeping in a bassinet just like this one. But as he grabbed for it, the twister actually spun him in circles, and it threw them both up into the air, and it sucked the bassinet with the baby in it out of the home. The walls of the home came down amid the roar of shredding winds and pounding rains. And when it passed, the mom, Sydney, crawled out from underneath the mattress that she had been huddled underneath. She cradled her one-year-old son and said, "My kids never cry. They're such good babies. I was trying to get us out, and he wasn't even crying." The father amazingly survived with only a dislocated shoulder. And together they searched through the piles of rubble for almost 10 minutes, trying to find what happened and where was their son. They thought he was dead. But then in the pouring rain, they miraculously heard a cry. They looked up to see the bassinet lodged in a tree 30 feet from where their house walls stood. This is what Sydney, the mom, said. It was like a movie. Aramis walked up in the pouring rain, clothes ripped, grabbed him on the tree, and was holding him in his arms. At first, I thought he was dead, and we weren't going to find him, but he's here, and that's by the grace of God. This is the little baby. Got a nice little picture of him. Every tree was down, so they had to walk over a mile to get help. And they arrived just at the moment that an ambulance was driving by on the road. I've said before to you that I don't believe in coincidences. This was no coincidence. And the paramedics got out and they examined the baby and they found him to be perfectly healthy except for one little scratch on his face. Ironically, or perhaps not in this story, the name of the little boy was, guess what? Warren. The next day, the family shared that it looked like he was placed on the tree gently, like an angel guided him safely to that spot. "It's a miracle he is alive," they said. The only other thing to survive the tornado in that home was an unscathed box of Sydney's mom's ashes, who had just passed away the previous year. That's the only thing they could find in their entire home, a box of ashes and their two healthy sons. "So I believe in angels and miracles," she said. In this Advent season, the first one for little Lord there, oh, what a night They'll always remember that night. On that first Advent, Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." That's the verse that actually inspired the well-known Christmas carol, "Away in a Manger." A simple and memorable tune that many people have fallen asleep to through the years. The line that says, "I love you, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till the morning is done." According to Luke 1:31, the angel had already told Mary, "You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne." A name and important title reserved for this moment, Lord Jesus. When the title Lord is used of Jesus, it means this: one who is supreme in authority. One who is supreme in authority. This title appears hundreds of times in the New Testament, including to a group who was working the night shift in the fields that night. Some of you who have worked swing shift or third shift or night shift, whatever you call it, you know how long the nights can be some nights. Luke chapter 2 says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Their first emotion was fear. They were afraid. It's the middle of the night. You can imagine what it would be like. If you've ever had to go out in the dark when there's no light around, there's something about the nighttime. This makes it a little creepier. And then suddenly this happens. It says they were terrified. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" And in that moment, a long-held prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah 7, hundreds of years earlier, had recorded this: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. That night, those shepherds, the night shift, they saw the signs and they heard the news. Oh, what a night. Friends, what we anticipate in this Advent season is unlike any other gift. We celebrate a birth that opens up the full promises of God, a birth that opens us to receive God's gifts of eternal hope, complete peace, inexpressible joy, and unconditional love. Those are gifts that will never wear out. They'll never need a software update. You'll never have to throw them away. You'll never have to replace them with a newer one. The experience of those first shepherds begins to show us the magnitude of these gifts. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." You see, they first encountered fear. They were afraid. And then the angel told them, "Do not be afraid." And then they went and they saw the Christ child that had been born, and their response was an inexpressible joy, something that just welled up within them. They responded to the birth of hope. They were filled with joy, all because of an encounter with Christ the Lord. Friends, this is how it also is for you and me. When you encounter the Lord Jesus, you too can be filled with an inexpressible joy, a joy that transcends your circumstances. It could be the worst day of your life, and you can still have that inexpressible joy. That's why it's inexpressible. You can't explain it. You don't know how to express it. It just comes out of you at times, even in the midst of your darkest nights. All it takes is to draw near to Christ the Lord in faith, to take one step closer to his presence, and then your very life will open up before you to be changed forever. I know that to be true in my life. When I finally took those steps closer to Jesus and said, yes, my life was changed. I never thought I'd be up here. I never wanted to do this. But this is the path that God had me. The Bible actually has a lot to say about joy. I put a couple of the verses on the back of your bulletin. These are a couple of verses you can hold on to in this season, especially when it feels dark and lonely for you. Psalm 51 is one of those verses you can tap into. It's like energy for your soul. It's a verse you can even offer up as a prayer to the Lord. It says, restore to me, or to us, the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You see, sometimes, and you know this, your tank runs low. Maybe this month you're already a little on the low side. Maybe you've been running around, there's a lot of stuff going on. You're a little low in the joy and love supply. Receiving this gift is like fuel that will keep you going. It will prime the engine of your life, even in the midst of hard times. Philippians 4 is another one of those verses to hold on to. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. As you spend time in the Bible, you actually will discover that the Bible has about two times as many verses that talk about joy as it does from repenting. It talks about rejoicing and joy over 700 times. In fact, it's not just presented as a good idea. We're commanded to rejoice. Not just us, but all of creation rejoicing. The Lord is near. You see, the birth of Jesus, we know this, brought God to earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Drawing near, not staying distant. Not some disembodied God up in the sky that doesn't want anything to do with you. No, God came down to get to know you. Down in the dirt with us. Because God is near, you can bring anything and everything to him, and he can take it, he can handle it. In fact, we are encouraged to do that. And when we do, Philippians goes on to say this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you want more hope, if you want complete peace, inexpressible joy, and unconditional love, then draw near to the little Lord Jesus, Christ the Lord. This is the encouragement we have to rejoice in this season of Advent. We remember that God came to us. And in the midst of anything that you are going through right now, know that there is always hope. We know that life is hard, but we also know that the Savior has indeed come. Draw near to receive what it is you are truly looking for in this life, a gift that will never disappoint. That was the first Advent, but there is another Advent to come. The final Advent, the one in which we hope for in the day that we await, when Christ returns. We know that Christ has already come to earth one time, and what we anticipate now is his return to earth. when all will be made right and renewed and restored as God intended and intends. Changing us, restoring all of creation, making things as they should be. That word shalom that we talked about before. Christ the Lord, supreme in authority, and whether you believe it or not, in control of your entire life, whether you said yes to him or not. When you say yes to Jesus, you are giving up control, you are placing your life under his authority, and yes, you may have small bits of control. You control maybe what you have for breakfast this morning, maybe how fast you drove here so you get here on time. You might even have a little bit of control if you're a 49ers fan, because you can turn the TV off or on as needed. But ultimate control is always under the watchful eye of the Lord. Jesus said in John 15, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Complete. For those of you who have already made a decision, you've said yes. The Bible provides a great roadmap, lots of parts of the Bible do, for how to live under the Lordship of Christ. I want to read just a couple of verses, Romans 14. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You've said yes to Christ. Guess what? You're not in control. You belong to the Lord. And yet, even if you have not yet made a choice yet, God has already declared that Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation. Romans 14 goes on to say, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. And on that day, there will be a final as Christ returns as promised. But instead of a dark night, when he came the first time, it will be a new and glorious day that he brings. The very end of the Bible gives us a little image of what that looks like. Let me read a few verses for you. I put them on the back of your bulletin as well. Revelation 21. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. We all know the pain of all of those things. And so that image that that will all be over is such a hopeful image to hold on to in this season. Friends, as we close our time together today and we await that day, we remember the birth of hope and joy into the world, a light in the midst of darkness, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, a gift that lasts forever, does not fade or break, and cannot be taken away from you. I pray that the love of Christ will fill you now and make your joy complete. Let us rejoice now as the shepherds did on that day. Glory to God. It says, let heaven and nature sing. Amen and amen. I invite you to pray with me. God, our Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to be born on earth and dwell with us, to get his hands dirty in the dirt with us. As we await his return, may we receive your joy, so that like the shepherds, we are propelled out into the world to bless this world in Jesus' name. I pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue the work you have begun in each person here. Break through our resistances, bring relief to our pain, and grant us bright hope for tomorrow as we wait for you. We give all praise, honor, and glory to you, O Lord. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. The church said, Amen. Let me close this time with a word from Scripture. 1 Peter 1 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, an inexpressible and glorious joy. A gift from Christ made possible by faith. Thus it was written long ago. So go forth now in certain hope of this promise. May God richly bless you and strengthen you in the days ahead. Go now in peace to love and serve God and one another. Amen. Church, have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday, Christmas Eve. Have a great day.